Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. How many of you are ready for some preaching? Are y'all coming here for some sleeping? Which one is it? We're going to find out in a few moments. Find out who the sleepers and who the preachers are in this room. Oh, it's good to be here today. I'd rather be in the house of God on Sunday than anywhere else, man. It's the place to be. The Sunday place to be is in the house of God. I love it. Love it. Love being here. My favorite people in the world, or I meet with them each week at the house of God. It's great. Ephesians 6. Get those pages turning. Bring your Bible to church. Somebody say, that is good counsel. That is good counsel. Y'all thought I was going to say, somebody say amen. I took a left turn right there. Good idea to bring your Bible to church. Mark it up. Write in it. Bring a pen. Get something out of it. Something that you'll remember. You say, I'll remember it. No, you won't. You'll forget it. But then 10 years from now, when you're looking through your Bible, you'll see that and go, oh, wow, I remember that. And it'll be great. Write stuff down. Use it. Mark your Bible up. Ephesians 6. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. We're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture. Then we're going to have a word of prayer. Then I'm going to get up here and spit and yell and scream for a few minutes. Then we're going to go have lunch. How's that sound to y'all?
Amen.
It sounds like a fun time to me. All right, here we go. Pick it up with me. A fitting portion of Scripture for a day like today where we're remembering and honoring those who have served our country, the soldiers, the Marines, the sailors that have stood in the gap and have faced America's enemies, have fought for America's causes, these important people that we simply could not and would not have a country if these types of people did not exist. Were it not for the patriots, the men who stood up many, many years ago to help form this country, and all the men who wore those uniforms after them, we would not have a country called America. We would not enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country called America. But we see in Scripture where there's always a parallel made between the servant of God being a soldier of God. And throughout the Word of God, we see this comparisons made often that the view that a child of God should have towards himself is that he is a soldier in this important campaign of Christ. Notice this in verse number 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10. We see Paul as he's finishing up a thought. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Beloved, listen, right off the bat, we see a lesson here. We see that in order to be a soldier of the Lord, we have to be strong. We have to be strong. You have to have some strength, some durability. You can't be that person that's always getting your feelings hurt. That person that wears out easily. That person that the slightest little offense causes you to run for the back door. You got to be strong. You got to be strong to endure the fiery darts of Satan. You've got to be strong to endure the temptations of the tempter. You've got to be a strong person. He says, be strong, but that strength comes in the Lord and the power of his might. We see that our strength, the source of our strength, is in our faith that we have in our Heavenly Father. If our faith was in our resources, we would have a very weak strength. We would have a very weak faith. If the only thing you had to rely on was yourself, you'd be running for the back door all the time. Where does the child of God's strength come from? Comes from the Father. Comes from our Heavenly Father. And where do we get that? How do we tap into it? The word is faith. Strong faith. In verse 1, we see there that we need to be strong. Are we talking about this kind of strength? Timmy's about to start drooling over there. Is that the kind of strength we're talking about? We're talking about spiritual strength. We're talking about the strength of your faith. Your faith has to be strong. And what is that faith tapped into? God. So you got to have faith, number one, that there is God, and that faith has to be strong. If you're somebody who's always, well, I just don't know if I believe in God or not. Oh, I have groceries this week. I guess there is a God. Oh, I don't have gas in my car. I don't think there is a God. You're never going to be strong. You got to have a strong faith in God because that is the source of your power. And that person that's always on the fence, or whether or not they believe in the Bible, and whether or not they believe in God, and whether or not they have believe in Jesus, they're always going to be weak. So the source of your strength is your faith. And faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in God's book. Faith in God's Son. And if you will build that faith, you'll be a strong soldier. If you do not build that faith, you'll probably be a deserter. You'll probably go AWOL. A soldier has to believe in his cause. We've seen times in America where the causes were questioned. And often soldiers had a hard time standing for causes that they questioned as being right or even righteous. As a child of God, we have to have faith in our cause. We have to have faith in the calling. We have to have faith in all these things that we say we believe in. As a pastor for almost 35 years now, the number one reason why I see people drop out of their Christian faith or their Christian walk is they truly just lose their faith in it. They lose their faith in it, that it is real, that it works, that they're going to really see God and stand before Him one day. They lose faith in the Christian way. They stop believing in it. So we see here right off the bat, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong and be strong in the Lord. Don't be wavering in your faith in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and your belief in Him and the power of His might. Develop a faith in God and God's ability, His strength. Put your faith completely on the Lord and be strong in it. Do you have a strong faith today? Do you have a faith that can endure unanswered prayers? Think about it. Do you have a faith that can withstand getting no to a prayer? Do you have a faith that can withstand a trip to a doctor's office where you get bad news? Do you have a faith that can withstand poverty, loss of a job? Do you have a faith in God that can withstand changes that come into your life? And sometimes those changes are uncomfortable, maybe even hurtful. Often it's in those times that the soldier of the Lord finds out that he's not strong in the power of God's might, that he has a weak faith, that she questions things that you have to settle in order to have a strong faith. Now, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Notice the word whole there. There's a lot of partially armored people. They get a little bit into church. They get a little bit of learning. My uncle was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Marine Corps. He's buried at Arlington. He was a RIO for a F-4 Phantom. And one time I was riding with him, and he was telling us that in training, he had to learn some judo. Of course, I was about 9 years old. That impressed me because I had seen Bruce Lee movies. And I thought the guys that knew judo were cool. Chuck Norris, men like that. And I was really into that. He said, yeah, I took judo in basic training. And I said, wow. Of course, you know, there's all the belts, you know, white belt, yellow belt, green belt, black belt. I have a tan belt and culinary arts. Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother.
I said, Uncle Kenny, how much judo did you learn? And I'll never forget this. He looked over at me and he said, enough to get myself beat up. You know, Brother Kevin, it seems like a lot of people know just enough Christianity to get themselves whooped. They don't really go to training. They don't really need it. They don't think. Preaching's boring. Sunday school's unnecessary. They know just enough Bible to confuse whoever it is they're trying to convert. and they know just enough Bible. You know the Bible? In the Bible, it tells us that our number one adversary, the devil, uses the Bible to confuse us. Did you know that? Did you know that's how he tried to get Jesus? He tried to use the Bible to, and you know, here's the thing, he's talking to the Bible in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among man. That's Jesus. And here's Satan talking to Jesus and trying to use the Bible to confuse him. Amen. It didn't work because Jesus knew the Bible. And then the Pharisees would come and he'd say, you err because you don't know the Scripture. I wonder how many people have the partial armor of God. They're partially armored, you know, half trained. Oh, man, and you're going into a battle. And the old devil doesn't have to work too hard to get that partially armed person. Put on that whole armor. Now, we're not going to take time to look at each part of that armor. That's a sermon for another day and a class for another day. But each one of these pieces are important. We see that the advice is you better armor up. You better suit up for battle. And then he gives the reason why, that you may be able to stand. What does the word stand mean there again? Is this what he means? What's he talking about there? He's talking about staying alive. That you may be able to stay alive. A soldier who stands in battle holds his ground and gets through it. God wants us to be able to stay alive, to stay in it, to make it through this evil day. These wiles. The word wiles means traps. The landmines, the claymores of the devil. Things that he lays in your path, covers it up, makes it look like it's innocent or not there. You better be armored up. You got an adversary trying to get you. Now notice this, very important, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle's not a flesh and blood battle. We're not out here with AR-15s trying to lead people to Christ, although I think it might not be a bad idea sometimes. I think we'd win more people to Christ if we, you know. It worked for the Muslims anyway. No, that's not how we're to do it. We're not to win people in a flesh and blood battle. We're not supposed to go out with guns and knives and swords and armor and fear people into conversion. That's not the way of Christ. Christ doesn't take hostages to heaven. But we're in a battle. And this battle is explained in the next part of the verse. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, leadership, places of influence. You know, beloved, listen to me. We think a lot about government being those high places, and it certainly would fall under that, and that's why I stood in line and voted. And I wanted to vote because I wanted to have the right to gripe and complain and throw a fit. How many is with me on that? Amen. Now, if you don't vote, shut up. We don't want to hear about it. Isn't that good?
That's good?
Kids, don't use that word. You'll get a blue slip. But I said it for the glory of God. That's the difference. That's the difference right there. Some of you young'uns will get a whooping if you say that. But when you say it, tell Mama, Mama, I said it for the glory of God. And that makes it okay. She can't give you a whooping when you do it for the glory of God. As long as it's for the glory of God, I'll stand up for him. I'll stand up for him. Man, I wanted to gripe and complain, and I get mad, and I want to be able to read the newspaper or look at my app on my phone or watch the TV and say, what a dummy! Because I had the right to, because I stood in line and voted. And I believe we need to be involved with who runs our country. We need to feel it's important who we choose to lead us. But it's not just talking about government here. Spiritual wickedness in high places, that's anything or anyone that influences you. What do you think the biggest influencer, what they're even called influencers today? There's no longer celebrities. There's no such thing as a celebrity anymore. Nobody uses that. That's an out of fashion, dated term. What is the word now for people of importance? Does that not bother you a little bit? Taylor Swift, she's an influencer. Not a celebrity, she's an influencer. She has a message, an agenda. Yep. All over the internet, and I'm not against, you know, all you Swifties in the room, holster your gun. Some of you are looking at me right now and you're saying, we are never, ever, never getting back together. I get it. After you said that, preacher. But she has a lot of influence. Oprah Winfrey, she's an influencer. She's literally shaping the mind of people who watch her religiously. There are people on blogs, people on the internet, people that are influencing everything that we believe and think. They help us shape our philosophies. You think that maybe the devil gets involved with some of that? You think that there's some influencers that are spiritual wickedness and they exist in high places? So what's the answer? You better armor up. You better armor up. Because then he says here, verse 13, because of that, wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole, there's that word again, armor of God. Why? So you can be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You know, sometimes a soldier is not advancing, but you know what he's supposed to do? Dig in. You may not be gaining ground, but you sometimes have to hold your ground. As Americans, we may not be gaining a lot of ground, but I sure hope we're going to dig in and hold some ground. Amen. Some spiritual ground. Then he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. There's that important faith. Notice he says, above all. See the importance of faith? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Dear Father, I got a few quick thoughts I want to share with these people. It's Veterans Day. It's an important day to our church because people we love are a part of that group. Today we slow down and we put other things to the back and we make this a forefront thought to say thank you to those who fought for our freedoms and the preservation of our country, going all the way back to the Revolution to the current day. Lord, we're so grateful that men and women stand up for the call of service. But by the same token today, Lord, there are men and women standing up to the call of Christ, serving as soldiers of the cross. And all of us that are saved are called to be soldiers in the causes of Christ. Let us suit up for battle. I fear, as the Word of God states, maybe the word fear is not the right word. I expect that perilous times are coming. Perilous days for the Christian. When Christians across the world will be forced to stand. And Lord, when that day comes, I pray that we'll have the strength in our Father. The strength, our might will be our faith. Our unshakable, unbreakable faith. That no matter what anybody says, we believe in God. And no matter what everybody says, we believe in this Bible. To our very core, we are convicted, and that conviction calls for us to stand. Lord, I pray that when the day comes, the Christian community will have the strength in their faith to stand. Lord, I pray that today I can help those under my voice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Onward, Christian soldiers. Off to war we go. Get up, Christian soldiers. It's time to face the foe. We're in the battle of the ages between wrong and right to lead desperate souls from darkness and into the saving light. We are called to go to war with battles that go unseen, to redeem the very souls of men and keep our country clean. Our enemy has fought us hard and he'll win at any cost. He's destroyed the lives of many and he loves to keep them lost. He's out there waiting and planning hard to overthrow our Lord. He's out there waiting, working hard while sowing his discord. He cares for none. He kills and lies while hates his only creed. Yet still his force has grown so strong with many to follow his lead. So come on, my fellow warriors, pick up your sword to fight. There's someone out there who's lost and weary who needs to find the light. Someday this vicious war shall end and we'll see the Master face to face. He'll say, "Well done, good and faithful. You've now won that good hard race. Come and lay your bloody sword, for with me you will forever dwell. I've bound your enemy, that old devil, up, and I've cast him into hell. But until then, we must keep fighting and endure our every loss. And never let it be forgotten. We are soldiers of the cross." Amen. Ephesians 6, we see the great apostle Paul as he gives some important teachings for the servant of Jesus. Teachings concerning the reality of spiritual warfare. He points out that there is a world unseen by the human eye, a world that is full of evil and entities that seek to entice, mislead, misdirect, and to bring about harm to humanity. He instructs us on how we must armor up and reminds us that we are engaged in a war as soldiers of the cross. Now, out of this, we understand these quick thoughts. Out of this portion of Scripture, Ephesians 6, we understand that, number one, there is a battle going on. Say that with me. There is a battle going on. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's a battle for our children? Remember the march last year? We're coming for your children. Do you think there's a battle going on for our children? There's a battle going on to save our homes. There's a battle going on concerning this book. Brother Paul, I was proud of Oklahoma, your home state. Not one county was blue. Everything went red in Oklahoma. But you know what? They just passed a law that in every school in Oklahoma, the Word of God must be taught. Amen. They're the only state to do that. There may be others follow. But there's a battle going on. They don't want the Bible in certain places. They don't want it in our colleges. They don't want it in our classrooms. They don't mind the Quran. They don't mind other writings. They don't mind perverse writings of illicit sexual things on homosexual agendas with a very, junior age kids reading illicit materials. They'll fight for that. Meanwhile, they want the Bible to be eradicated. There's a battle going on. That battle is going on daily. Every day this battle rages. What is this battle? It's the battle, number one, for the souls of man. There's a battle for the souls of man. You see, every one that we fail to reach, the devil will keep for eternity in this place called hell. And there's a battle raging for us to reach the souls of man. Whether they be in India or Italy or Macedonia, whether they be in the Philippines, whether they be in Japan, and whether they be in San Antonio, there's a battle going on right now for the souls of men. And there are forces at work to entrap, to enslave the souls of men, to keep them on a path of destruction, to a place that the Word of God calls hell. A lake of fire, a place of eternal damnation, where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. And there's a battle for us to reach these souls, to keep these souls from that horrible place called hell. And there's a secondary battle that's going on, a more personal battle, and it's a daily battle, and it's the battle to do right. The battle to do right. The battle to choose between right and wrong. The battle to accept God's will and God's plan in your life. And where is this battle fought? It's fought in three places. First of all, it's fought in your body, your flesh. In your body, every day, there's going to be a battle of whether or not you honor God with it or you honor your flesh. Every day, you'll have to wake up to a new and fresh battle for that day. That battle is real. And even the people in the room that are the most faithful Christians, you get up every day to a battle inside of your body. Do I honor God with my vessel or do I dishonor him and what I do with it? And that battle's there. And it's every day. There's also a battle raging in your mind, your soul. That battle is going on every day. That battle includes your reasoning. There's a battle going on whenever you're finding rationality to do wrong. There's reasoning and there's rationalization. Rationalization is when a person finds a good reason to do something they know to be wrong. And that battle's going on inside your mind every day. Every day, the tempter puts in front of you things that cause a war to go on inside your very soul. And it involves your intellect, your reasoning, your ability to discern. And there's a constant battle raging inside of you to make right choices. And it goes deep into your soul. Has anybody ever felt that battle? You ever fought that battle? There's a third place it rages, and that's in your spirit. Your spirit. There's a lot of uses for the word spirit in the Word of God. They don't all mean the same thing. The spirit I'm referring to is your attitude and your outlook in life. The Bible says that a spirit of a man will bear his infirmity, Miss Allie. That means that a man's ability to literally get well will hinge a lot of times on the strength of his spirit. You know, doesn't that make sense? You ever see people that just want to be well? I think of Brother Chuck, who has just amazed everybody. I mean, his battle's not been a short battle. It's been like 10 years he's been dealing with stuff. One thing after the next. He'll get through with one thing, something else comes right back. You sit down with Brother Chuck to encourage him, you'll be the one that walks away encouraged. And I'll tell you why he keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Because he's winning the battle of his spirit. Now one day the Lord's going to heal him. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm saying one day he's going to have a restored body and God's going to... We know that's coming. But until that day, he's winning the battle of the spirit.
That's right, brother.
There's a battle that goes on in your spirit every day. And in that battle is where your faith becomes infected. Did you know that your spirit, we are made just like, hi, how you doing? You sure are pretty. You got enough hair for three people. You know that? That's awesome. We are just like the image of God. We are body, soul, spirit. Did you know that we can get illnesses in each of those three? Just like your body can get a flu, your spirit can get sick. You can get a spirit, you can get your soul can get, become ill. And did you know that sometimes one will infect the other? Do you know that? Grief is an illness that starts out in your soul, in your spirit. But it can literally affect your flesh, make you physically ill. There's a battle going on in our body, our mind, our spirit, our flesh, our soul. Listen, our attitude and our outlook, there's a battle going on to keep on believing and keep standing. Go to 1 Timothy 6. Are y'all still with me out there?
Amen.
My time is gone. I think lately I've had sermons, that way more sermon than I ever had time. But I'm going to give you a little bit more of this and we'll close. I've got two other sermons that I've got to give you part twos to, and I haven't forgot about it. We've just had events and things and missions conference. But those are waiting. And that one I started on the battles of the spirit world. I'm going to give you the best part of it, actually, part two. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. By the way, people take this out of context a lot. They say that, you know, money is evil. Money's not evil. The love of money is evil. Money can be used for good just as it can be used for bad. What makes money such an evil tool of Satan is what you would do to have it. It's when money owns you, not you owning it. That's when money becomes evil. Money does good. Money builds buildings like this. Money builds gymnasiums. Money puts missionaries on the field. But when you love it more than you love God, and you love it more than you even love your very soul, it's become a tool of evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Run away from them. Say it with me. Run away. Say it.
Run away.
Say it loud.
Run away.
These things that are evil, you got to run away, man. Do you know this? God's more interested in you fleeing temptation than doing battle with it. And that's where a person with some standards and some convictions and some deep-rooted convictions, be better for you not to get into a motel with a woman that's not your wife and then fight to say no to that. It'd be better for you just to say no to going to the motel in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody say, preacher, that's good. That's good. Most of the time, you get in the presence of temptation, you're going to get overwhelmed. It's better for you to avoid it. He says, flee it. Get away from it. Get away from it. Oh, man of God, flee these things. And he's talking about these temptations, the love of money, and all these things that are foolishness. If you read some of the previous scriptures, it says, you flee these things, and you flee to where? Where do you, and you run away from evil, where do you go to? You ever noticed in these scary movies, they run away from the bad guy? The bad guy never runs. Michael Myers never ran a day in his life.
Nope.
Nor Jason. Pumpkinhead. Candyman. I don't know all of them. Who are they? I've never seen any of them. I've never seen a monster chasing anybody. I see people running frantically and tripping over everything. And I see the guy with the big knife just going... I always kind of thought I could probably get away from one of them guys. If they're just going to walk, you know. I'm gonna run. And then you'll notice that they'll run. Whoever saw the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? That girl got out and ran in the woods. She's screaming and tripping over everything. And she does a complete circle in the woods, comes right back to the same house. And we laugh at it. That's exactly what we do. We go... Sin shows up. Danger! Danger! We run right back to the same thing. We run away right back to it. God says flee, but here's where you go to. You don't just run away. Go to something. I'm going to start preaching now. Look at it there again. Look at this. What verse was I in here? Here we go. Verse 11. Thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So you flee evil and you go to these godly virtues. Don't just get out of the world, get into church.
Amen.
Don't just get away from a wrong crowd, get in a right crowd. Don't just give up sin, pick up righteousness. Don't just quit doing wrong. Start doing right. Now notice this, verse 12. Fight the good fight. If you have your pen, underline that. Fight the good fight. Now notice the two words that lie beyond those first four words. What are they? Of faith. Where's the battle at? Battle's in your faith. Battles in your faith. The question is, can you keep up the fight of faith to be a soldier of the cross? Can you still believe when you're disappointed? Can you still come to church and worship Jesus after you just came from a funeral where you begged God to heal? Can you still, seeing the glories of God, after you just got let go from a job that you really needed? Can you still come to church and have faith when a church member has let you down? Can you keep believing? The good fight is the fight to don't stop believing. Don't ever stop believing. Don't stop believing in this book. Don't stop believing in our Heavenly Father. Don't stop believing that Jesus is coming soon and His reward is going to be with Him. Do not stop believing that in the end, Christianity is standing.
That's right.
We win in the end. Don't stop believing that God hears you and loves you and that God has a plan for you. A lot of people in the trials of life, fighting the good fight of faith, they lose. And they start believing that God is not involved and that God doesn't care and that God is not listening. You fight the good fight of faith and you will understand that in those times, you'll still believe. Don't stop fighting the good fight. Let's pray. I had so much more to say, but time is gone. I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with these veterans of our church. Beloved, you've been fighting the fight in your body to honor God with your vessel. How's that fight going? Don't stop the fight. Armor up. Armor up. Beloved, listen to me. That battle raging in your spirit, depression, despair, defeat, those are battles in your spirit. How do you overcome it? Fight the good fight of faith. You keep believing. It's going to be okay. Even when your spirit tells you that everything is bad and all the world is bad and you have nothing to be happy about, fight the good fight of your faith. Because God says, I've got something so good for you. And I've got every problem that you have under my thumb. As your heads are bowed, I remember seeing the old movie years ago, Apollo 13. True story about some astronauts that endeavored to go to the moon and a bunch of things went wrong. And out of that tragedy came one of America's greatest triumphs when we were able to bring these three astronauts back home. In the movie, which came from the book written by the lead astronaut, he is shown taking his thumb and covering the moon, then looking at it and then covering it. From the moon's standpoint, he did it in reverse back to the Earth. Somebody asked him, in the book he explains it more than the movie does, why he did that. Because he said, every problem, everything I want, everything I love is under that thumb. God's got it all under his thumb. Got it under his thumb. Fight the good fight of faith in him. In him is where you'll find the power of your might. Your faith in him. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I'm saved and I stand on that today? Would you slip your hand up? You may lower your hands. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I believe in the Bible and I believe in God, but I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Pray for me, preacher. Would you slip your hand up this morning? No one's going to embarrass you. I see that hand, brother. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. Now listen, no one's going to come to you. No one's going to embarrass any of you three. I'm going to pray for you right here. But I have people that can take you to a private room and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home, the greatest decision you'll ever make. You'll praise God a million years from now for this day if you handle it correctly. This is not the time to allow fear to speak. It's the time to suit up. It's time to put on that shield of faith. Dear Father, you saw the three hands that were raised in this building. People who were connected to you, filling the Holy Spirit at this moment. They're hearing the call. They're hearing you call out to them. God, this is a big moment in their life. It's a moment of decision. And right now there's a spiritual battle that we cannot see. It's invisible, but we can feel it. And there's a force that says, don't do it. And there's a force that says, please come. There's a calling from both directions. A tug of war going on in their soul. This battle's being fought right there. God, I pray for victory in your name. That three more names could be added to the precious book of life. That they could be redeemed when they stand at the judgment day. But the choice is theirs. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in a moment I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I do, altars are going to be open. Are you winning the fight of your faith? Are you winning it? The good fight.